Bibles. First, we'll be going to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and reading verses 11 through 16. So, children, as your parents have told you, boys and girls, that the first book is Genesis, and then comes Exodus, and then Leviticus. So those last two, Exodus and Leviticus, is what we'll be reading portions from, and then going to Luke. So Exodus chapter 13, page 70 in this pulpit Bible. I think it's the same as your pew Bibles. Reading verse 11 through 16. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to your to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or you will not redeem it. If you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. And then to Leviticus chapter 12. Page 114, actually looking at 115. So Leviticus 12, verses 6 through 8. And when the days of your purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And then over to Luke chapter 2, which will be our text this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. Familiar with Luke chapter 2, we find the birth of Jesus, and then the visitation of the angels to the shepherds, and then the shepherds to Mary and Joseph, seeing Jesus in the manger. And then 8 days later, verse 21, Jesus is circumcised. And now verse 22, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the first Sunday of the new year. This is The first Sunday also, after the celebration of our Lord's birth, which happened just last Lord's Day. The time that usually is set aside for the celebrating of Jesus' birth is over. And that past Sunday, 7 days ago, may seem like a very long time ago, as other things have come in to your regular routine. Even the planning of maybe family get-togethers last night for New Year's Eve celebrations, and who's coming and what do we serve and what's going to happen. And Christmas seems to fade into the background as the next item comes into view. And even the next items in the next day may be already on your mind. And some are thinking of the end of the holidays and the beginning of school and the beginning of work, the ordinary, the routine soon pushes back the memory of these other times. And such maybe have been the case for Mary and Joseph, for things were pretty much routine again for them. Yes, they had been visited by the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, and that by that shepherd's visits had been reminded that that baby in Mary's arms was the promised Savior. And yet that special night is almost swallowed up by the daily routine. There were diapers to be changed. There was a baby, yes, but he had to still be fed and cried with hunger pangs. Work for Joseph would have to be found as a carpenter. Food had to be bought, you see. And a roof had to be provided for them, more than just a cattle shed and a manger. They would be staying in Bethlehem for a while. In fact, for quite a while, as the Magi will come sometime over a year later and visit them there in Bethlehem. It would be in the midst of the everyday, though, that our salvation would be earned for us. And part of the usual was for Jesus, as a Jewish firstborn son, to be brought to the temple and be presented to the Lord. As his mother had just completed her time of impurity, she also had reason to be at the temple, and it wasn't unusual for all the requirements of the law to be done at one time. Possibly there were others who had come for the same purpose, to have their firstborn sons dedicated, to have that sacrifice for the purification made. This was a regular happening at the temple. There was nothing unusual about what was going on here by all appearances. But amongst the ordinary, amongst the regular, there was something special being accomplished. According to Exodus 13, Jesus, as the firstborn male, belonged in the Lord's service. And one of two things needed to happen. Either Jesus had to be left at the temple to serve the Levitical priesthood. We remember, boys and girls, don't we? Little Samuel. You know, the firstborn son of Hannah. And how she dedicated him to serve the Lord. He was of the tribe of Ephraim. He wasn't of the tribe of Levi, but he was the firstborn son to Hannah. And at around 3 years of age, she dedicated him to serve the Lord at the tabernacle. And she did. Elkanah did not redeem him, but left him there to serve there. So that could have happened with Jesus of the tribe of Judah. He could have been left as the firstborn son there at the temple. Or Jesus was to be redeemed from temple service by Joseph paying the 5 shekels to the priest. The fact that Joseph and Mary take Jesus back to Bethlehem shows that Joseph redeemed him. Yet this doesn't mean that Jesus isn't dedicated into God's service. What is occurring in our text is that God the Father is withholding Jesus from temple service to dedicate him to another kind of service. It was service that was necessary for you and me to be delivered from our sins, to be rescued from the wrath of God. Service necessary for us to enjoy forever life in fellowship with the living God. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24 teaches us that Jesus is dedicated at the temple into his Father's service. Jesus is dedicated at the temple into his Father's service. He is dedicated, first of all, as our high priest. Secondly, as our sin bearer, the one who carries our sin and the wrath of God that is upon us due to our sin. And thirdly, as our perfect sacrifice. Let us look then at Jesus being dedicated into the Father's service as our high priest. We read of that beginning in chapter 2, verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, Joseph and Mary present Jesus to the priest at the temple. They are following the law of chapter 13 of Exodus. In that passage, God declares that all of the firstborn males of Israel were his. He had delivered Israel out of Egypt through the death of all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians and of their livestock. By God laying rightful claim on the firstborn Israelite sons, he was doing more than just laying hold of them. He was taking hold of laying claim on all of Israel. The firstborn son, you see, was the chief heir and would be the leader of the family after the father died. And so the firstborn sons represented each family in Israel. And in laying claim on these firstborn sons as the servants of his tabernacle, God was laying claim to all of Israel's service in representative form. Now this did not take away Israel's need as a people to serve God in faithful obedience to his covenant. Rather, the firstborn dedicated all of Israel to serve God as a kingdom of priests. None was to escape God's service, as it were. All were called to serve the Lord, but the firstborn dedicated all of Israel to that service. And the service of the firstborn at the tabernacle would enable all of Israel to serve the Lord. For the Lord had prescribed that pattern of worship and service by which Israel would receive grace that pointed to the Christ who was to come, the one who would fulfill all the sacrifices and ceremonies of the law, the one who would purchase for them ultimately all that they needed to serve God. And so by the continuing of the sacrificial system, the true worship of the true God was continued. And God's people in the Old Testament continued to receive that grace that was needed. And even though later in Numbers chapter 3 we read that God took the Levites in place of the firstborn son, God still had the right to the firstborn who were sons. If their parents didn't buy them back from God, they must serve God in connection to the tabernacle. It is significant in that God the Father had his son come as the firstborn son of Mary. And as the seed of Abraham, he is the true Israelite and representative of all of God's people as God the Father's appointed priest. Yet his service wasn't to be temporary. He wasn't to be of the temporary priesthood of Aaron that pointed to him, the high priest. Rather, we read in Psalm 110 that the Lord had sworn an oath that Jesus was to be a priest forever, the priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So God the Father made sure Joseph bought back Jesus from serving in the temporary Levitical priesthood that he might serve forever in that eternal priesthood of Melchizedek's line. And how thankful that you and I should be that he was redeemed. For that temporary priesthood was only meant to function for a certain time. Christ is dedicated to that priesthood that is eternal. He is destined, even as this baby, in that arms of that priest, to be serving as the high priest in the heavenly temple. His would never end. He is our eternal priest, whose position will never be ended by death. He is perfect. Unlike the Old Testament priests who needed a sacrifice first for themselves and then for others, he never needed a sacrifice for himself. He would be enthroned in heaven far above all authorities. And so his priesthood could never be removed by lesser authorities. And yet this priest was tempted and would be tempted as we are yet without sin. And having shared our humanity from his conception onwards, knows our weaknesses and is a sympathetic high priest. Knowing our need of grace, he bids all come to him. This is the priest that is being dedicated to the Father's service at this time at the temple, having been taken away from the temporary priesthood of Aaron. You say, what does this mean to us? Well, beloved, it means several things to us. One thing is that just as the firstborn sons of Israel dedicated all of Israel to God's service, Christ as the firstborn son of God's people, the true Israelite, represents and dedicates all of his people to service to God. Christ, as your high priest, dedicates you to a life of being a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God in this year of 2017. God has redeemed you through Christ, body and soul. You are not your own, but belong to him, body and soul, as 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20 say. And therefore, you and I are called to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his. We are a kingdom of priests. As 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 say, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, to declare the glories of Him who brought you out of darkness into His wondrous light. Because of our High Priest Jesus, we have a priesthood, and we are called to worship and serve in thankfulness in this year of 2017 as priests to our God, worshiping in Him in word and deed each and every day. But another significant thing out of this is that His service in the that would take place in the heavenly temple and is taking place today in the heavenly temple enables us to serve as His kingdom of priests to the glory of God. We look at what is called, what we are called to do as a kingdom of priests, how we are called to live, what worship means, what it means for us as individuals, what it means for us as family, what it is for us as Church of Jesus Christ. And we say, this is too much. How can we ever hope to live and to worship our God? But the High Priest functioning in heaven at the right hand of the Father enables us to have access into God the Father's presence, that we might plead for forgiveness, that forgiveness purchased by His sacrifice, and might plead for strength that was also purchased by Him in order to serve. And Christ, as our High Priest, is daily pleading our cause. And the Father who appointed Jesus hears Him for our sake. Dedication of us through the One who was dedicated. Strength to serve through Him who serves eternally. But in order for Him to provide that strength, in order for us to indeed receive a priesthood and be priests to our God, required a sacrifice which meets the demands of God's justice. And Jesus, here in our passage, even as a baby, shows in Himself and shows in this passage that He is that complete sacrifice. And two things would be required of Him. One is that He would need to be the sin bearer. He must take upon Himself all the sins of His people. And the second is that He must be perfect. And our text shows both sacrificial parts to be true for Christ. We look quickly at these two things. One is that we see Him as our sin bearer in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Him up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. Luke mentions that Mary completed the days of her purification that God had commanded in Leviticus chapter 12. And when we read that, we heard that these sacrifices were not thank offerings, but they were actually sin offerings. Think of this. It's not saying that the birth of a child or having children is a sinful act. And children are a blessing from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, His reward. No, the idea is that the parents conceived a sinner. The baby, even in the womb, was spiritually polluted. Physically alive, but spiritually dead, apart from the regenerating work of God the Holy Spirit. Giving birth to children was giving birth to a spiritual leper, as it were. And touching this spiritual leper made the mother ceremonially unclean. And God commanded a sin offering to be made for her cleansing as a reminder to all Israel that all are conceived and born in sin. Now here we read of Mary having to endure 40 days of purification and of Joseph giving a sacrifice. And we think of Jesus and we ask why. We think of the message given to Mary by Gabriel saying that this baby was the Holy One. He is the Son of God. He was pure from conception onward. There was no sin in him, nor would there ever be any sin in him. Mary's time of purification becomes more than her simply keeping the law. Unknown to her, she's proclaiming Christ's work as her sacrifice, the sinless one. Would bear her sin and all the sins of all his people. He would suffer under the wrath of God that was against the sins of the whole human race. Even as a baby, he suffers under that weight. It will become most intense on the cross. Mary and Joseph didn't just present the sin bearer that day into God's service. They were also dedicating in Jesus the perfect sacrifice that would fulfill all that these two birds that they gave as an offering had symbolized. Now, to be that perfect sacrifice, he must complete all the obedience that God's law required of him. He is at the temple obeying that part of the obedience that God's law required of him as a firstborn son. And the Father makes sure, God the Father makes sure that Joseph and Mary fulfilled that requirement by bringing Jesus to the temple. Christ obeys as an infant passively, yet his passive obedience will lead to a life of completely obeying actively in all of his thoughts, words, and deeds. As Mary and Joseph handle the two turtle doves and hand them over to the priest, one is offered on the altar as a burnt offering. A burnt offering. The infant Jesus breathes in through his nostrils the smells that foretell of his coming to the cross, of him being consumed in death. You see, it would not be enough for him to suffer the agonies of hell on the cross and then come down. The law of God said that Adam sinned and Adam would surely die. The wages of sin is death. Like that burnt turtle dove, had nothing of it spared, there would be no part of Christ's life spared when he would go to the cross and he gives up his life into the hands of his Father in heaven. We may wonder why Jesus isn't put to death right away, since he is the sacrifice. Well, three things are required for that to take place. Well, first is that he must be the priest offering up his life on the altar of the cross. And so, in this case, if the priest or even Joseph and Mary killed Jesus, that would be them taking his life. No, he must now offer, he must offer his life. It also required a complete life to be offered up. He needs to live in obedience and suffer through all the stages of life, through infancy, childhood, teen years, into adulthood. And die as an adult. And finally, he must suffer according to Scripture. That is required that he offer up his life on the altar of the cross so that it might be shown that he suffered under God's curse for us. For cursed is he who is hanged on a tree. So here, little Jesus will return with Mary and Joseph. I want you to notice one more thing, beloved. Something wonderful. Mary and Joseph had to hand to the priest, what? Two turtle doves. And you know what? That sacrifice was a sacrifice that the poor person made. Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a lamb, it says. And if they couldn't afford a lamb, they would give two turtle doves. And in fact, when it talks about the sin offering in Leviticus, it goes even further. If you were too poor to afford even doves or pigeons, you could bring a grain offering as a sin offering. What's wonderful here, beloved, is that Christ would be the sacrifice that covers the sins of covenant breakers who are rich, who are poor, who are middle class. All who come, all of us here who come to the Father, pleading in faith, Christ's suffering in righteousness, we will not be turned away. Jesus himself says in John 6, verse 37, that all who come to him, he will by no means turn away. Isn't that wonderful? No one is outside the pale of the sacrifice of the Son. Oh, beloved, Christ was redeemed from sacrifice, redeemed from service at the temple to serve as our high priest forever in heaven's temple. The Father provides in Christ from infancy to the final sacrifice, the one who bore our sin and who was offered up to atone for that sin. And think of that for a moment as we begin this year of 2017. You and I have in heaven our high priest and sacrifice. He who came to Jerusalem now serves in heaven. And Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 through 22 applies this to us beautifully. It in fact commands us to draw near to God. Oh, come, God says. Come to me through Jesus Christ. Come, the doorway is open into my very throne room. Come into my presence. Pray. The pathway of covenant communion is open between you and your God. Come, as he directs, with a sincere heart, in the full assurance that comes by faith in the promise that in Christ the way is open. Come, having dealt with your sins through repentance, seeking the forgiveness and cleansing that comes in Jesus. Oh, the Father bid you, beloved, to come. You who are here today, come. Now offer to him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for the gift of his Son. He is here to receive it. Through Christ flows to you blessings from the Lord, who declares to you grace and peace. The Father bids you to come. Come night and day through Jesus Christ. Do not let the dark night of your difficulties keep you from him. Oh, in the midst, oh, I don't doubt it, beloved. Some of you are going through deep valleys at this time. I don't doubt struggles can become intense for you as well as for me. For we are in a fallen world, a cursed world, a world in which we experience sickness and death. Trials of various kinds, temptations all around. Oh, but in our trials, how often we cast up to God that he, the accusation that he doesn't care. Oh, that the heavens are like brass and the way is shut. How often, beloved, do we falsely accuse our Heavenly Father of hatred versus love? Because we don't understand the workings of a loving Father in our lives all the time. Because he doesn't tell us the end from the beginning. But he is good. And he loves you. He has shown that, O people of God, in his Son. He has given to you him as your high priest. And through him he has opened the way. And he declares to you today, come. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Come, he says. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Come, for you have a Father in heaven who knows what you need of even before you ask it. Come, he says. Come. Oh, do not think that your thoughts and your troubles are too small for the Almighty. He is great. He is great. He is holy, majestic in holiness. But he takes time for the sparrows and the ants. Surely your concerns aren't too small. Come. Your sins and mine are indeed things that are very ugly to the face of a holy God. And you and I have real reason to be ashamed of our breaking of his commandments. But the Father says, come. Come. Because he has provided for us a sympathetic high priest who was tempted in all ways and tested in all ways like us, yet without sin. Come, he turns none away. He gave his Son as a complete sacrifice for all of your sins and mine. The throne of the Father is a throne of grace. Ask, and he will give you strength to live in covenant with him in this year 2017. He will give that grace until you and I arrive by his strength into heaven, where we will see our high priest face to face. Amen. Let us pray. O Father,